Well, I got a message that God has put on my heart. I had one, and I talked to Brother Terry about it. And I just, you ever work on something for like weeks, and you just can't get it together? And that's the way it was. It's like it don't fit. Nothing is going together here. So I called him, and I said, Brother, I just want to ask you a couple of things. And he said, okay. So I talked to him, and he gave me some good advice and stuff. And it's like, okay. I can put it together. So I went and sat down and I started praying. And the more I prayed and the more I tried, the more it did not go there. So I left it at home in a box. And one day it will come together and it's going to be good too. But it just is not together. How many of you know if you take a cake out of the oven before it's done, it's going to fall in your face? And I'm not going to do that because I have enough stuff falling in my face once in a while to have something that's not going to work. But I got one here that the Lord gave me, and I think it's an end word, an end time word right now for what we're doing, because we're fixing to enter a brand new year. 2013 is coming up when? Tuesday. So it's coming, and I want to challenge you because I want to see you operate in everything that you have this year. If I can, I want to stir up the pot in every gift and every calling that's in every person's life in this building today. I want to stir you to where when it comes up and you can say, I want to have a new year. And that's just not another year, but it's something new for the year. Something new that you can do. Something new that God can challenge you with if you'll make yourself available. I find out that every time I make myself available and I begin to pray, God, would you use me? God, would you put me where I need to be? God, would you speak through me? God, would you, whatever it is, God, I'm available and I want you to be honored in everything that I do. Then God is always expedient about opening a door that I can step in. Every time I ask him to do that. But if I sit around and I'm happy with the same old, and I don't get enthused, and I don't read, and I don't study, and I don't really expect something new to happen in my life, guess what happens? Nothing. I'm pretty well there. You can get to that place to where you're content, and everything is going by you because we're either going for Christ or we're going against Christ. There is no in between. And that is a horrible place to be, is to be stuck between going after the things of God and just sitting there and being content with what we have because we're blessed. We get to that place to where it's like, I'm blessed? Why would I want to go do some of these things out there that other people do? Why would I want God to use me to go out and do something different than what I'm doing? Because right now I'm comfortable. I got a little money in my pocketbook. I have a good car. I have a good home to live in. Why would I want to stretch myself and get out and do something that I'm really not sure about doing? Anybody ever been there before? Can I hear a better amen? See, we've all done that, whether we like to admit it or not, but we can do it. But I want to get you to that place this year to where, you know what? I will do something new this year. And I will allow God to do something new in me this year because I want to hear more from God. I want to see more from God. And I want to be used of God more than I've ever been. Does anybody agree with me today? Let me see your hand if you really want to do that. I want to see your hands. Good. Thank you. Okay. Since we've done that, I forgot to tell you thank you a while ago because I just remembered about it. Thank you for the cards and the stuff that you give Janice and I and all the other pastors. I'll speak for them too because it is a blessing to hear from you guys. I mean, I get some of the most prophetic cards, you know, that you just write us and thank us for being a pastor. And they really bless us. They really minister to us. And I want you to know that from the bottom of our hearts, we give you thanks for that. And all the gifts that y'all give us. I mean, we've had more restaurant things to eat. We're not people that eat out a lot. But I'm going to tell you what, we use those cards. We'll go eat out. I'll tell Janice, where you want to go eat out tonight? And she'll say, I don't know. Let me go look. She's got a little, pulls out a card. How about this one? It's like, okay, that's where we're going. But thank you so much for that. That is a major blessing to Janice and I. And the other pastors too. I want to say that. Now, let's go back, if you'll put the scripture up there, Ephesians 4:1. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus. And the title of this sermon, if y'all want to write it down back there, is Reaching Your Potential or Your Purpose in Everything That You Do. And this is what Paul said. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. I want you to know that every one of us was called into the ministry. Now, you may not be on the church payroll somewhere, but you are called to the ministry because that's what God called us. I don't know if you realize that, but when you came and you accepted Christ into your life, you became a called minister of God. God has anointed and appointed you, and He wants to use you in everything that He can. And it's just how deep into that calling do you want to go into those things? And I was mentioning that to a guy one time, and he said, well, that's not what I signed up for. I said, what'd you sign up for? He said, I just didn't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I said, well, you get to do that too. But there's work to be done here. When you live in the family of God, there's chores to be done. There's work to be done. There's things that has to be promoted in it. Some of it takes you guys to do. It's not always Brother Terry and myself and our teachers and the people that are here that's on staff. We're here to get you promoted, to get you equipped for the ministering of the Lord Jesus Christ to other people, to get you to that place to where you know that greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. And you can do all things through Christ Jesus, through who strengthens you. We want to equip you with that. We want you to know who you are, that you have a great calling on your life, that God wants to use you this new year. Amen? Everyone has a gift, and God has a plan for your life. You ought to start thinking on that every day when you get up and say, there's a gift inside of me. That scripture is one you need to put on your refrigerator and think about it all the time. And realize that God has put a gift inside of you, and He wants you to use it to the best of your ability in everything that you can. And when you begin to do that, then you're going to have to lean on the Lord. You're going to have to trust Him. You're going to have to come to that place in your life where you're going to have to depend on Him to do that. Has God ever spoken to anybody in here, and as soon as He spoke to you, it's like, wow, man, what a revelation. And then 1 second after that, big giant butterflies begin to bubble up inside of you. And it's like, oh, I can't do that. I mean, that's a great idea for somebody else. But I don't think He's speaking to me. I think He wants me to prophesy to someone else and tell them that's what they need to do. Well, I want you to back the truck up just a little bit. Let the tailgate down because I think that message was for you. Amen? When He says something to you, you're the one that's supposed to start with it first and begin to start walking it out. Now, He may add other people to that, but He wants you to take that first commanding step and say, I will do what my Lord told me to do because I have a gifting, and He'll never call me with a gifting without equipping me. And He will equip me in everything that I do. I was telling somebody the other day, it's amazing. When I was going to Bible college, Janice and I didn't have the money to go there. I wanted to go, had been wanting to go, and it's like, where are we going to get the money? We don't have this. I just left a high-dollar job, and the church don't pay enough, and I'm not going to ask the church to put me through Bible college, but I'm going to do it. And I went and I enrolled in it, and we started riding motorcycles here at the church. Had a bunch of guys, 20, 30 of us, and we started riding motorcycles. Well, I know how to take things apart and build it and make it work. And I started finding junk motorcycles all over everywhere. If somebody called me, hey, you want this old motorcycle? You can have it. I'd go get it. I'd fix it up, and I'd sell it. And I'd take that money, and I went through 2 years of Bible college, and every payment that I paid that school, I paid it from building motorcycles and paying my way through school. Now, you say, well, what is the point behind it? I'm going to tell you what the point is. When you need it, God will supply it. Now, I want you to know this. When I graduated, I never saw another motorcycle, had gotten rid of every one of them, quit riding and everything. But God used that one little thing to bless me and to show me I'm going to take care of what you need. And you don't have to go ask someone else for it. I will give it to you. Now, it's going to take a little work to do that. But I got so proficient, I could take a whole junky motorcycle and tear it down on a Friday, have it running by Sunday afternoon, and put it in the paper and sell it the next week. Because God was in the thing. Amen? Now you need to say, wow, well maybe God would supply my needs if I did something. And He will. But you got to have something to do. You can't just sit there and say, well, I want a hobby that I can do, that I can make money, go put it in the bank. Well, don't look for God to do that. I mean, it's okay if you can do that. It'll keep your mind going. It'll keep you doing something. But find yourself a mission and say, I will find something that I can do, and I want to watch God bless me while I'm doing it. I want to see the supernatural things begin to come my way, to when I need something, it's going to be right there. And I'm going to know that God has supplied the needs that I need in my life. Amen? A lot of people do not tap in on their potential. They just don't do it. They'll never look and see what kind of giftings and callings that they got. So they'll never tap in on that potential to take that and make it work for their lives. There's a lot of people that start a lot of things, but they never finish what they're doing. You know, when I was doing the foundation class, one of the key elements about doing that whole class was coming to a place of discipline. When you start it, don't stop until you graduate it. And we graduated over 250 people in this church doing that little foundation class that I did for 18 years in there. But most of them would come to me and they'd say, thank you for letting me go through that class, because it taught me that I can start something and I can finish something. Because a lot of people start things, but then after a while the glitz and the glimmer get off of it, and then they'll lay it on the side and they won't go any further. They'll just leave it there. Well, that dies. Then you're no longer excited about it. Then you go pick up something else and you'll start it, and then you won't let that complete itself and you'll push it to the side. You know who had a real problem doing that? Was Michelangelo. Let me tell you what he did. He attempted to carve 44 statues in his life. He completed 14 of them. 30 were never completed. Some of them still over there in Rome, and they have just a torso, maybe with a piece of arm on it or a piece of neck. Some of them no heads, if you've ever seen that, because he did not complete what he intended to do. He started out with 44, and he only completed 14 of them in his life. And if I ask us today, because this sermon is not for you, it's for me as much as it is you. If we start something, what are we going to do to see it come to completion in our lives? Just think about that. Just think about it. Because I want you, when you start something, I want you to get that thing so ingrained in you to where it's like, you know what? I'm not going to quit until I finish this. Most of you know that I built some cars and stuff around my house. And I've been building a 1953 F-100 pickup truck with a Chevy big motor in it, with different parts of junk that was laying around my house. I got Jeep seats in it. I got a Dodge rear end. I got a Ford truck with a Chevy motor with an Oldsmobile transmission. You know, it's all hand-built. It's all put together. But when I started it, Janice says, when are you going to do something with that thing? I said, one day I'm going to do it. But I got that thing in my mind about 10 years ago. When I start something, I'm not going to stop until I get it finished. I am going to see it come to a place of completion. Now, hot rods, you never finish them. You just basically work on them all the time. Because you fix one thing and then something else breaks. How many of you know it's old stuff? But nevertheless, you can get it to a place where it's somewhat completed. And I told her, I said, when I start, it's going to involve you, because you're going to have to help me. I said, you're going to have to come out there and hold bolts for me while I'm tightening them and I can't reach that side of it. You're going to have to, it's going to require time for you to come and to help me do what I got to do. And she said, well, okay. And I said, all right. So one day I got my tractor and my boom on the back of it, and I went out there and I just started dragging all the junk up to my shop. And I started doing it. Every piece of it. Sandblast this, weld that, cut this, mold that, do this, put this in, put that, take that back out. I put the body on that truck 7 or 8 times, and she had to help me because I had the boom and she was on the tractor backing it up. I'd bolt it down. Okay, Bubba, back up. You know, she'd put it down. Take it off. You know, we did that over and over. And she said, this is hard. I said, well, you know, you prompted me to get started on this thing. And I said, you're going to have to help me. So she's got a little box that she bought, a cypress wood box. And I would see her coming over there on the four-wheeler, brr, you know, across the woods. And she'd have all my dinner in it. When I was off, she'd bring me dinner, and I'd eat it at the shop. We'd sit there on a little old bench that I got, and we did that. And it took a year. It's a 10-year project, and I did it in 1 year. But I finished that thing from the ground up to where it's a driving vehicle, and it's fixing to hit eBay. So if any of you see it, I would love for you to drive it away. Because we don't have retirement here at the church. That is my retirement. When I build one of those things, I try to sell it. I take that money, put it in a CD, and I'll never retire as far as I can see it until the Lord comes. He's going to retire me from this place. But I don't intend on quitting because I'm still too fired up about the Lord. Amen? The older I get, the more fire I get in my bones about telling people about Jesus and doing the things God wants us to do. I'm finally learning how to walk in faith. Amen? It's taken me a long time to get there. Well, I'm going to stay there until I let it go and God takes me away from here. But it's discipline. It's a place that you got to come in your life and say, if I start it, I'm going to see it come to completion as soon as possible. And it's going to be a sacrifice to do that. We sacrificed a lot of things until we got that done. The pressure's been off about 6 or 8 months, and now we don't have to worry about that. It's just sitting there. Some people never finish what they're supposed to be or do as far as God's purpose in their life. And I want to tell you, if God's given you a dream, if He's given you an unction of the Holy Ghost to go do something, start doing it. Just get the tractor and the boom on it and go start picking up stuff and bringing it to the house. And say, I will finish this thing and I will work on it. It's going to be a sacrifice. It's going to take time. But I am going to see it come to completion in my lifetime. Amen? One said, the richest place in the world. Miles Monroe said this. I don't know if y'all know Miles Monroe, but this is what he said. He says, one of the richest places in the world is not in the oil field or on Wall Street or a bank. Not even at Fort Knox. You know where it is? It's in the cemetery. You know why it's in the cemetery? Because too many people lost their potential. They lost their ideas. They lost their dreams. They lost God ideas. And they forgot about what to do because they let it slip their mind and did not use what God gave them. And they went to another part of this earth, or heaven or hell, wherever they went. But they lost their potential and it's buried in a cemetery. How many good books? How many good ideas? How many good people that could teach other people? How many people that had talents and giftings that they could have shared that with other people and made great livings and made great people out of it? And they never did. And they died and they were buried with their potential. I don't want that to happen in my life. That's why I might tell y'all a bunch of stupid things that I do sometimes. But you know what? I've learned that I'm going to use what potential I got. I don't have the same potential that you have. I don't have the same potential that Pastor Terry's got. And I don't try to be like him, and he definitely don't want to be like me. Because we're different people. God has made each one of us different. Some of you people are very, very smart. You have already forgot more than I'll ever learn. And you might be half my age. But that's all right, as long as you use your potential. Some of you have great giftings and callings and abilities to do something to help other people. But are you doing it? Are you at that place and saying, God, I want to, whatever I got in my life, I want to begin to instill that within other people. I want to show them how that you love them. I want to show them how that they can take their abilities and they can begin to use it. And I want to endorse that person and I want to bless that person and watch you do a great thing in their lives. You know, one of the greatest things that happened to me this year, we started a men's group up front. And we started out with about 30, 35 guys, and we went on for a good ways there, and it kind of dwindled away, and I think it finally ended up where it was about 10 or 12 of us. But I'm going to tell you what, it has been a blessing to go sit down with these 12, 13 guys every Wednesday night and share from heart to heart and learn things from them and realize, wow, I never knew that went on in your life. I never knew you went through that. Wow. And your heart just goes out to that person and you begin to love that person. You begin to care for that person. You begin to say, wow, what can I do to help you? And then there's times where you'll share and somebody will say, wow, I got a word for you. And they can give you something to get you out of that. And it's iron sharpening iron. It's men helping men. And we're growing together because we're using the potential that we already have in our lives. Amen? And it's a good thing to have in that way. Did you know that most people's brain weighs about 3 pounds? It's just a 3-pound mass. We went to the store the other day and Janice bought some cauliflower. Have y'all ever seen a cauliflower? We went to the market and I was passing by there, and I'll never forget when I was a kid, we used to take mom and dad used to take milk, put it in a pillowcase and tie it up and hang it on a clothesline out in the yard and let it clabber. And they'd make cottage cheese out of that. I know it sounds gross, but it was ugly stuff. It looked a lot like cauliflower. And I remember one time we was playing farmer and a rabbit running around the house with a ball. You know how you hit somebody and you hit them and then they got to chase you. And we were running around there and I went and it was dark by that time. And I ran into that pillowcase and when I did, it split open and that cottage cheese went all over me. And I was running around screaming. I thought my brains was falling out. I mean, oh no, I'm dying. My brains are falling out, you know, and it's big old hunks of cottage cheese. And I got there and they assured me as a 5-year-old kid, I'm okay. But it scared me. Well, that flashback hit me the other day when we were at the market and they had all these cauliflowers laid out on the table and they were huge, like this big around and about that big. And they looked just like brains. And it's like, golly, every one of us has got something that looks just like that in our head. But it's made a lot better than a cauliflower. But I looked at that, but your brain weighs about 3 pounds of mass that's there that God put in us. And let me tell you just a little bit, that you can store 100 trillion bits of information in that brain. 100 trillion bits. That's almost like the national debt, if you want to just compare that. And by the time this sermon's over, it's probably going to be more than that. 100 trillion bits of information in that. You know, you look at your iPhone. I don't have an iPhone. I got a smartphone, a D phone, I guess. It's a dumb phone. All you can do is call somebody and then call you back. But that's what I got. But it's a smart little rascal. But you think about what can go in that thing, but there's a lot more that can go in your brain than you think. 100 trillion bits of information. Listen to this. 15,000 decisions a second just when you eat a meal. When you put something in your mouth, we're usually just stuffing our mouth. We don't even think about it. But when we put something in there, our brain kicks into action. Ding! They're eating. And it takes off. And it makes 15,000 decisions a second. Of everything that you chew, it's telling your tongue what to do. Put it on this side of the mouth. Put it on that side of the mouth. Let that tooth up. Put this tooth down. Swallow this. Don't gag on that. Your brain is taking care of everything you need just because you open your mouth and put that Twinkie in there. 15,000 decisions a second. Telling different parts of your body and how to digest that food, that it goes to the right place. I have still never understood how you can take an aspirin, put it in your mouth, and drink water, and it stops a headache. But it goes somewhere, and it does what it's intended to do because your body is designed that way. Amen? One sense, our sense of touch can detect an object 1/1000th of an inch thick. This, the sense of touch can sense that. You know, y'all looking at me and you think, he's bald-headed. Well, I'm not. My fingers are touching things that's less than 1/100,000th of an inch thick. I have a head full of hair. It just has not come out very far. Can you imagine the touch, just the feel of that? That God put that in our lives, that we can do that? Listen to this. Our sense of smell can detect 10,000 different odors at one time. 10,000 different odors. And I have probably smelled at least 9,000 this Christmas. This turkey's cooking, that thing's baking, this is going on, and it's an aroma that just flows everywhere, and it's good. And I just thank God for it. I have a sense of smell. Amen? And so should you. Our body can release every chemical that we need to heal itself. Have you ever thought about that? You go somewhere and you cut your leg and immediately your body takes on putting on chemicals, things that go on to begin to heal that. Your resistance, everything that you need to heal that part of your body begins to happen the second that you need it. It don't just do it all the time, it does it when you need it. God has designed us that way. It's amazing what God has put within us. That's why the Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. To stop and think about how God has created us, how He made us. In fact, the Bible says that when God created the heavens and the earth, He said that was good. When He created the animals, He said that's good. But when He created man, He said that is very good. Very good. When God calls something very good, then we need to start calling something very good. I'm very good, and so are you. The Bible says if we can't love ourselves, one of the commandments, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Does it not say that? That tells me that I do have to love my neighbor. But it also tells me that I need to love myself. I need to take credit in what God has made in this body. This is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And I should credit that thing with some great things. And realize that God has made me in a very unique way. And He's made you the same way. Not the same, but you know what I'm saying. He made you who you are. He made me who I am. But He made us. He created us for His pleasure. And that's good. Yeah. That tells me if I'm made in the image of God and I'm here and God has created me and gifted me and given me things to do, then I need to honor Him by doing that. And part of that is taking the things that's in here and potentially using it for the glory of God. Amen? That ought to make you jump a pew sometimes and say, wow, man, we got things to do. Amen. We do. That wasn't even on my notes. It's important to reach your potential to please God. It pleases God when you have dreams. When God gives you dreams or He gives you unctions of the Holy Spirit to be used. It pleases Him when you step out in faith and say, God, I don't understand the whole picture of this. I got a glimpse of it, but I know it's from You. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to wait for a confirmation to come. And when that confirmation comes, then I'm going to move out in that. And you start doing that. Well, I'm going to tell you what, God is well pleased. He said, you're listening. You're doing good. Come on, walk on down, walk on down. It's kind of like a little baby that begins to trust you and you get them up on their feet. And they're standing there just kind of wobbling back and forth. And you get their attention. Janice used to keep some... We used to have people in our church years ago. And they were having babies by the hundreds, literally. And she would keep some of them sometimes. And I'd come home from lunch when I was a mechanic. And I used to have a little screwdriver in my pocket with a little magnet with a little red ball on the top of it. And every time I'd come home, these kids would see that screwdriver and they'd just go... You know, it just caught their attention. And one day, one of them was in there, and she said, would you watch him while I'm in here fixing the dinner? And I said, yeah. So I sit down on the floor, and this little kid was in there laying down, and I just picked him up and stood him up like that. And I was talking to him and just playing with him and just get him to hold my hands, and he would just almost fall. But he looked up, and he saw that screwdriver, and it was like he was glued on that screwdriver. So I took it out, and I let him go. And I backed up with that screwdriver. I said, come on. Come on down. Come on. And I didn't know he couldn't walk. Kid had never taken a step in his life. And I got him. He's walking. He's coming all through the den. And he's going one step at a time. You know, he's going along. And it's like, I got his attention. So he's coming along like that. And about that time, his mother opens the back door and comes in. And she screams, ah! I said, what's the matter? She said, my baby's walking. And I said, well, he's never walked before. She said, never. He's never even set up. He just got where he would get off of his behind. He's never even stood up. And I said, well, why don't you go buy you one of these? This is a fix-it right here. And I did three or four kids that way because you nurse them along. And when we start doing what God wants us to do, He will nurse you along. He will put something in front of you that will get your attention because He is involved in it. And He will lead you from one step to another. Amen? God is good if we'll let Him do that. But we got to do our part. We can't just sit on the couch and want my mama. I had some of those too. They wouldn't get up. They wouldn't walk. They wouldn't do nothing. So I just let them sit down there and I'd roll a ball to them. If they roll it back, I'd roll it back. But if they didn't, I'd just sit there and make sure they were safe and good. But it's exciting to see somebody do something new. Somebody take a first step that nobody's ever seen and move out into the things of God. Amen? Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. That's who we're pleasing. I don't do things to please you. I'd like to please everybody, but I learned a long time ago, you cannot please everybody. You can make some of them happy sometimes, but you can't please everybody. But I've learned this, whatever I do, I'm going to do it as unto the Lord, to give Him the glory and give Him the honor through it. Amen? Finally, this is what Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more. Just as you receive from us, you are to walk and to please God." We urge you. We ask you. We try to get you those two words right there. We urge and exhort you is exactly what I did with that little kid. I urged him to get up. I got him up manually, physically, got him up on his feet. But then I exhorted him with that screwdriver to come on and walk and do things that was pleased. Now, his mother did calm down, but she was sorry that she didn't get to teach him the first steps. And I said, well, I apologize for that. But I don't apologize for this kid walking, because he's going to walk on forever and do what he needs to do. So we were happy about that situation. But God is pleased when you get up, when you begin to do something, He is excited about it. But the key thing is don't ever give up. Don't sit down. Don't get lazy. Don't just set it on the side, because all of your dreams and all of your potential one day will go to a graveyard and nobody will reap the benefits from it. We want you to use everything that God's given us. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 9. It says, run to win. I'll never forget when I ran track in Kentwood. I would go, and one day we were in the dressing room. We were getting ready to go to a track meet, a big event in Hammond. They were getting ready to load everybody on the bus, and had two guys that we was going to run a relay race with. And I was the fastest of those guys and had practiced, because I smoked when I was in school. And every time the coach caught me smoking, he'd make me run 5 extra laps. Well, that was punishment, but it made me stronger and stronger. So therefore, I could outrun everybody. Now, I don't advocate smoking, okay? But I'm just saying it takes a little more effort to get things going. And I did. Well, we get ready to get on the bus, and two of the guys was walking in there, and they said, man, this is a big meet. I doubt we'll even get the place in the thing. He said, I doubt we'd even be third or fourth place. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, what did you say? He said, well, I don't think we're going to win. He said, we'd be doing good if we get third or fourth place. I said, buddy, let me tell you something. You're on my team. And it's going to be on me, because I'm the fastest and I'm going to have to run the last leg of this relay. And I don't want to go into that relay thinking that you think that you're going to only go third place. That means I'm going to have to run a lot harder to catch up, because you don't believe you can do it. I said, you need to come to that place in your life and believe you're going to win this thing. You may not finish the finish line, but you're in the relay, and you're going to have to bring it to a certain spot that someone else, everybody knows what a relay is. You're going to have to bring it to your spot, but that means that you're going to share in the glory of the whole thing. And that taught me some good things in my life, that you may not be the center fold of everything that goes on in this world. You may not be number one, but you got a part to play. And you need to get it in your mind that you're going to be first place. When you start out to do something, say, I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to give it my best. And I'm going to do what I need to do, because I'm going to see it come to completion. Saying all that, we lost. And you know who lost it? I did. because he didn't hand me the baton. We were doing fine. And he comes up there and he puts the baton, goes in. Instead of me grabbing the baton with my hand, I caught his wrist. Because, you know, when you're running wide open by the time he gets to you and you reach back to get the baton, and it fell. And by the time I picked it up, I was one step behind the guy that won the thing. And that happens sometimes. But nevertheless, it's the attitude about do it to win. Do it to come in and place in first place, not second place, first place in everything that you do. Amen? There's a story in the Bible Jesus talked about a man going away, and he left some talents with people. He left one man 5 talents, said, here, take this and use it. He said, I'll be back. There's going to be a day of reckoning when I come back. We'll talk about this. He sees another man. He gives him 2 talents. He says, here, take these talents and use them. I'm leaving. I'm coming back. There's going to be a day of reckoning. I'm paraphrasing. There's going to be a day of reckoning, and we'll talk about this when I get back. And to another man, it gave 1 talent. He says, take this and use it. Be a good steward of it. I'm coming back. We'll talk about it. So he comes back. He goes to the man that had 5. And the man says, look, Lord, look what I've done. I took yours and I doubled it. Now I had 5. Now I have 10. Look here. Look here. Jesus said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Then he goes to the man that had 2. And he says, what did you do with yours? He said, look here, Lord. You gave me 2 and I went out and I doubled it. Here's 4. Here's 4 of them right now. Look at this. Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. Then he goes to the man that he gave 1. And he said, where's my talent? The guy said, well, I knew you were a hard man. And I knew you probably wasn't going to do nothing about this. So I just took it out in the back and I dug a hole and I buried it. And he went out and uncovered it, brought it and gave it to him. He said, here, this is what was yours. Gave it back to him. And Jesus was mad about that. He says, because this one that I gave 5 went out and doubled it. This one that I gave 2 went out and doubled it. But this one that I gave 1 to, instead of him taking it and at least putting it in the bank and drawing some interest off out of it, he went and buried it. And he says, give it to me. And he gave it to the one that had 10. So it was 5-2-1. Now it's 11-4-0. Because the one that had 1 lost everything that he had. And he told him, he said, depart from me, you wicked one. Now that story scares me because I know that God has entrusted me with things to do in this world. And it's not all about money. It's about what you say, what you do, where you go, how you do it, how you act, how you react. All of those are talents that we have in our life. And when he comes back, I want to make sure that I've done everything that I know to double and multiply that. Because I know that he is a God of multiplication. He is not a God of subtraction. We are. We are the ones that can subtract from our lives. But he is the one that will bless us more and more and more. And most of y'all know my story, how I was born and raised. And I had left home at a very early age. Lived on the streets and just lived wherever I could. Never had anybody taught me a whole lot of things to do. And I had no love, zero love for anybody. Nothing that was there. And when I first got saved, that was one of my first prayers. I said, God, I need love. I know that I've experienced your love. When I got saved, I cried for about 2 weeks every day. I'd get up just bawling. Had no idea why. It was just a cleansing, I think, that God allowed in my life. And I just let it come out. I just cried. I mean, it was like a grieving. Just something had happened. And I didn't know what to do. Every time I'd see somebody, they'd say, well, how you been doing? Fine. And then they would say, wow, you look like you're doing fine, you know. But I couldn't help it. It was just in there. And then I started saying, God, I need love. If I'm going to be around Christian people, your Bible says that I need to love people. I don't know how to love people. I don't know how to extend love to someone else. I don't know how that even feels. I said, God, I need you to help me to love people. Put me around people that will show me how to do that. I'm on. If I read it in a book, it's not going to happen. But if somebody shows me one time how to do something, it goes into my brain, and I'll never forget that. I can do that if I do that. But and God knows that in my life, and He started giving me love for people. I'll never forget coming home from the hospital. I was blind for 9 months, and I'll never forget coming home, and we were sitting in the car. Janice was driving, and I was sitting there, and they had a lady drove up beside us, and she just was crying, laying over on a steering wheel on a four-lane road, and I'm looking at her, and for the first time, it was like, oh, man, wonder what's wrong with her. Does she need help? Has she lost somebody? Has she lost her job? Maybe one of her children died. Maybe somebody's sick. I mean, a gazillion things started going off in my 3-pound brain. And it's like, what's going on here? But the whole time I was looking at her, God began to give me compassion. And I could feel like love being poured inside of me. And for the first time, I looked at Janice with tears in my eyes. She said, what's wrong with you? And I said, I don't know. I don't know. I said, but something is happening. Where there was a void in my life, God is filling that thing up. He's showing me how to love somebody. And I don't know how to do that. And I was so frustrated because I wanted to do something that I didn't know how to do. And then God started putting me in different groups and different people. And every time I would see something, it would begin to do something inside of me. Until one day I realized, it's like, God, I really do love people. I really do love them. I may not be able to help everything that they got, but God, I give them. I love those people because you love those people. You care for those people. And you will make a difference. I heard a story today when we were coming to church about a guy talking about driving. And if you drive down Greenwood Springs Road, you know what I'm talking about. People will run over you. The speed limit's 45. Even the people on the side of the road are buying their own signs right now, putting it in their yards. Speed kills. Slow down on this road. If you've seen them, those yellow signs, because people drive crazy. But he was talking about a guy that was bumping traffic. He was going, jumping back and forth in lanes. He passed him, cut in front of him. And he said, I got mad at this guy at first. And he said, I just followed him on down the road. And it's just like always, somebody will pass you and 15 other people. And when they get to the light, you're usually going to drive up right next to them. You know, it's like all that commotion that they did, they're not any further down the road than you are. That might help some of you. But he was talking about that. And he got to that point and he said, he got there and he said, I started to roll the window down and just give the man a piece of my mind. But he said, I didn't. He said, the light changed and he took off and I took off. He said, it went around a corner and had a flat tire. And he said, well, he just deserved what he got. You know, look at that. And it's a good thing he's off on the side of the road. But he said, as soon as he passed by the guy, he said, God told him, he says, back up and go help him. And he says, in his heart, he says, I can't stand a man. If anything, I'd like to tear his head off. But God says, go back and help him. And he backed the car up and he went and told the guy, he said, look, man, he said, I came back to help you. And the guy says, he was all upset. The guy, he said, are you upset about something? And he said, yeah. He said, my son is right down the road and he's a diabetic and he's dying. And I'm trying to get to him to give him his medicine. If I don't get there, he's probably not going to make it. And the guy said, get in my car. So he got in his car and they made it to where they have to go in time to help the young man. But you see, our thinking sometimes says there's no sense in helping that person. They need a whipping. They don't need a blessing. But there's a lot of times that we run across opportunities, and it's a good place to use our potential to help other people because we don't know what they're going through. We just need to be available to the things of God. Amen? Amen? We can't compare ourselves with other people. Other people have different giftings than you do, but you use what you have. I'm reminded of a story one time of two little kids playing volleyball. Soccer ball, big white ball. Everybody knows what that is. And they were kicking it, and they were in their backyard, and one of them gave it a good swift kick. Pop! Goes right on over, goes right over the fence. And the next door neighbors had a chicken pen back there with chickens in it. Well, immediately when that ball hit the ground, the rooster gathered all the hens up and he said, "Okay, girls, look at this. This is the kind of egg that they're laying next door." See, people may expect more out of you than what you got, but you just be sure you lay your egg and do what you need to do with it. Amen? How do you reach your potential? Listen to these things. First one is, be yourself in all you can be. You're not somebody else. Don't try to imitate someone else. Learn from other people. I have been sitting under Pastor Terry's teachings for 30 years. I don't talk like him. I don't look like him. I don't act like him. But I'm going to tell you what, he's ingrained the Word of God in me. And that's what's important. Now, he's got his own method of doing things. I got my own method of doing things. You have your own method of doing things, but you need to be around other people that will help you, to teach you, to let you grow and to be all that God has for you in your life. Amen? Be yourself. You cannot be someone else. It'll destroy your self-worth if you try to imitate someone else. You can't do it. I watch people all the time, sometimes, and they'll try to imitate another person. They'll see them, and that person's leading and mentoring them and doing good. But then the first thing you know, that person that they're mentoring and helping, they take on all the characteristics of that other person, and basically they become a slave to that other person instead of unto God. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? We can't do that. We got to come to that place and say, you know, that person can help me. They can show me. They can do whatever they can to help me to get where I need to go, but I need to see what God has for me. I need to be my own person. Amen? You have to keep growing in everything that you do. Listen to this. This is a quote by Oliver Holmes. "Man's mind, once it is stretched by a new idea, never regains its original dimension." Never regains its original dimension. Once you get a new idea, it stretches your mind. It expands your knowledge. It expands your wisdom. And you'll never go back to live in that little box where you once were, because you have a new horizon to go to. There's newer things out there. I'll never forget one time we were driving through Utah going to the mountains, and we went around a place and it was desert, rocks, bushes and stuff. And it's like, are we going to ever get through this stuff? And we kept on going, and we stopped to eat lunch on the side of the road. It was like three couples of us. And we parked on the side of the road, and I get out and I start walking up this big old hill that goes up there. It looked like it was like straight up, and it was about a mile from where the car was to the top of that hill was. And I said, well, while y'all eating, I'm gonna go walk up there. I'm gonna see what that is, because it was a line of trees up there. And I go, well, I didn't know you'd go a little bit, then you'd have to go down about 60 foot, go about 30 foot, climb back up, go, then you'd go down again. It was one of those zigzag things. And I was down in there climbing in boulders, and I was like 30 feet deep in some of that. And then I got to wondering, I wonder how many rattlesnakes they got up in here, you know. And that thought hit you, and it's like, well, I'm too far invested in it now. I'm going on. So I kept on going until I got all the way. And when I got right to the top of that hill that looked like a hill, and those trees were there, I was climbing up on my hands and knees. And I get up there, and it was a pine tree, and I reached and grabbed that pine tree. And when I did, I looked down, and it's 1,000 feet straight down. That hill had stopped. It was all the way down. It's like, huh, look here. I will not climb down that one. I am going back to the car. Get me a peanut butter sandwich now. But it was like I looked out past that point, and it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. It was Monument Valley is what it was. It's like those big old things that stick up out of the ground. They used to put jeeps on and do advertisements. Well, that's what it was. And it's like, this is awesome. This is a beautiful place to be. So I sit there for a while. I went back to the car, and they all said, here's your sandwich. Let's go. I said, we're going to have to drive probably another 2 hours. And it's like, no, we're not, because I already been up there. I know what's on the other side of this thing. And I didn't say a word. And they were grumbling about, how much further is it going to go? When are we going to be there, you know? And I said, just wait. One more bend, and we're going to see. And we made the bend, and it goes up a big old hill, and it's right between this cliff that was right there. And when we topped that cliff, everybody said, oh, it went, ooh, everybody say, ooh, ah. Well, it was one of those kind of moments. And it was like, see, we had to follow through. It might have looked boring, it might have looked different, but here's the result of it. And I have no idea where I'm going with that. But when you, how to reach your potential. Oh, it's about stretching your mind. Because you may go sometimes in those mundane things that seem like you're going nowhere, nothing's happening. But if you'll just wait and look over the horizon, you will see some great things that God's got on the other side. Amen? It's kind of like a parachute. Our mind is like a parachute. It does no good until you jump out of the plane and pull the ripcord. And then it opens, and then you're in a good place. And somebody asked me the other day, they said, would you, Keith did this, he said, would you like to go skydiving? And it's like, brother, are you trying to kill me or what? You know? No, just joking. But it's a thrill to go do something like that, to go over the edge, but know where the cord is, and go with people that know how to pack the chute. If I go anywhere like that, I always ask questions. How many jumps have you made? How many times have you not made a good jump? The more specific thing is, how many times did the chute not open? Well, I jumped about 30 times, and my chute didn't open at least 20 of those, but I thank God I had an extra one. It's like, I'm not going with you. I want somebody that knows how to pack a chute. I want somebody that knows how to glue that thing to my hand, that rip cord. When I jump out of an airplane, I want to know I got the cord. I don't want to be reaching. I hope I find this thing because my life depends on this. I want to know it's there. And that's the way God is. We need to know He's there. Whatever we do, we can pull it at any time and God will let you down. I'm talking about down, not down, down. We have to keep growing as Christians. We got to come to that place in our life and say, you know what? I'll never stop growing. I'm going to keep moving on and doing what I need to do. Get under some good teaching. Get to a place where you listen more to what's going on. But open. Be assertive and say, what's going on here? God, show me something. Let me be sensitive about this. If somebody's saying something, let me listen to what they're saying. Let me see if they're really saying something that's really hurting them, that I can help them. Or if they're saying something that's going to teach me, and if it is, then let me be the listener to do what I need to do to hear some good advice. That's why when I was 51 years old, I went back to school after being out of a school that I hated, high school. And I went to a Bible college that some people were going to that was failing, because, and they had already gone to college, and they couldn't make the grade. And it's like, here I am, the dunce is going to go and be in Bible college. It's going to be hard for me. And it was. I had to do a lot of study, and I had to do a lot of stuff. But I'm going to tell you what I did. I never learned a great revelation about anything that was in that school other than how to discipline myself and how to sit down and practice what God told me to do. And it made a difference in my life. Read more. Get involved more if you have to. Change is good. What would you do if I asked you today, would you go back and drive your original car that you had when you first started? Oh, and by the way, move out of your house and go back to the first house that you lived in. Oh, and while you're doing that, why don't you just quit working where you are and go back to your first job? Now, how many would jump on that? I don't see one hand in here. Yeah, I do see one. Did you hear what I said? None of us want to go back there. You know why? Because it's instilled inside of us to do more, to grow more, to get more. And there's nothing wrong with that. I definitely don't want to go back to our first house. I can remember Janice and I's first little room. It had cracks in the floor. It was a garage apartment. And this older couple owned it. And he would go out there. That was when it was 6 degrees sometimes in the 60s. And he would go out there to crank his car up. And she's in there trying to cook a piece of ham salt meat. That's all we could afford back then. She's in there cooking. And he cranks the car up. And I'm looking through the cracks at him in the garage, and he cranks it up and revs the motor up, and you can feel the air coming up, coming in the room. And it's like, this is a wonderful place. You know, Never do I want to go back to that. I like it where I'm at because I've pursued my life into be what God wants me to be. And He is the God of more. Amen? Accept the pressure of the moments or the position that you're in. Accept it. When things happen, there's going to be pressure that's going to come on you. Just learn how to say, you know what? This is another good opportunity to praise God. When things come your way that you don't understand, just back up and say, you know what? This is a good opportunity because God is in it. If God orders your steps, then you need to know that God is in it. And He will bring you through that thing. Amen? In everything that you do. Don't expect experts to always be right. You may run across people that are experts. Let me tell you what some experts says. An expert is someone who will know tomorrow why things he predicted today didn't happen. Think about that. Because we're growing. You know, what was new 50 years ago is not new today. Now, some things are. The Word of God will never change. It was always there. But we got to come to that place and realize that technology is different. I can remember when nobody had a cell phone. I got a bag phone. You know, you have an iPhone. I have a bag phone at my house. It looks like a suitcase. It weighs probably 50 pounds. And that was our first cell phone. We'd go in, sit it down, and hope to God the thing never rang because you couldn't hear nothing on it. But technology is changing around us all the time, and we need to know that. Thomas Edison was told by his teacher, "You are so stupid that you can't learn anything." Aren't you glad for Thomas Edison? You're sitting under lights that he invented, things that he did, because he knew his potential was better than an expert told him about. Walt Disney, he was fired from a newspaper because his boss told him, "You have no creative ideas." Walt Disney. Do you know the story behind Walt Disney? I read this a while back. I gave it a little teaching on it. But he was sitting in an office he got hired in, sitting there with nothing to do, had a pad and a pencil, and he's sitting in this office. And it's a rundown office. It's in the back of somewhere. And he looks, and a mouse comes through a little hole in the wall and goes, and he's running back and forth in that one little office that he's in. And Walt Disney sit there and got the idea for guess who? Mickey Mouse. No creative ideas in his life. But he had a potential. He had a gifting. He had a calling on his life to do something. And he took it and made one of the biggest amusement things in this world. I think there's two or three of them somewhere in different parts of the world. But I know they got one in Florida and they got one in California. Because he had no creative ideas. Nothing. He was a dunce. Boy, I'd like to be a dunce. Expect great things to happen in your life. Don't just walk around every day just thinking nothing good is going to happen. Expect things to happen. When I go somewhere, I expect to be involved in something. I expect somebody to open up their mouth that's going to open a door that I may be able to share the gospel with them, or something is going to come up. I expect that to happen. I do it by going down the road sometimes and watching people with a flat tire. I watch somebody maybe one day walking with an empty gas can and their car's about 50 foot from there. How many of you know that that's a good opportunity to help somebody? You can do it by anything that you do. You may be in the store, and I've shared this 100 times before. You're sitting there trying to check out with your Hershey bar and get out of the store, and somebody walks up behind you and they just pour their life out before you. Everything you never wanted to know about that person, they just told you. Well, they're telling you, "Help me. Help me. I need somebody to listen to me. I need somebody to show me the way. I'm lost, and this is what's going on in my life." They give you the history of their whole life. What an opportunity to sit there and to share with that person and tell them about the goodness of God and help them to get out of their situation. Amen? You get what you expect. If you don't expect anything, nothing is going to happen. I promise you, it just will not happen. But when you go and you expect something to happen, you'll get good things. Devote yourself to something you do well. Find out what your strengths are. Find out what your giftings and your callings are, and begin to tune those and maximize every part of that and make it work. And your weaknesses, don't leave them out. Pick up some of your weaknesses and say, you know what? I think I could improve on some of these. But right now I'm working on the good things that I know that I can do and will do. I'm going to make these happen, and then I will work on these later. But don't leave them out, because they're things that sometimes God puts in your life, and you may call it little, but God calls it big. And He'll turn that thing around. Who would have, in the world would have ever thought that I would be up here preaching to a bunch of people today when I was growing up? If you'd have told me that, I promise you, I would have left this country. I'd have went to Canada or somewhere, because it's like, that ain't happening. I don't know God. I don't want to know God. And there's no way I'm going to get up in front of somebody and tell somebody anything. I'm out of here. Goodbye. I mean, that was my attitude. I had no idea that God was going to change that. That was one of those weaknesses in my life that I never wanted to get moving in my life. But now it's different. Amen? Devote yourself to do something well. Don't take shortcuts. Don't take shortcuts in your life. If there's some way to do something, do it. And do it right. Do what you got to do. You know, I built a house out there, and when I built it, I had to dig the foundation myself. I hired two guys to come out there, and we dug the footings of my house. They were 2 foot wide, 2 foot deep, and they went all the way around the whole perimeter of my house. And that dirt out there was as hard as that cement. It took us 6 days to dig the footings of my house. But I knew, because the author had told me, he says, it's important to get the foundation right on your house. Because if you don't get the foundation right, everything else will not line up. And I started with a good foundation. I made sure that baby was level, that it was solid. It had rebar in it. It had the right concrete. It had everything that it needed, because I wanted a good foundation in my life. Now, I could have shortcutted a lot of things and got away with it probably. But I determined I was not going to do that. This is the foundation. I can skip out on some of the lights and some of the other things, but the things that's essential, I cannot shortcut that. Well, our life is the same way. We need a good foundation, and we can't just shortcut something else, because when you cut something short, what are you cutting short? Think about that. What are you cutting short if you take a shortcut? We can't afford to do that. We've got to have a good foundation. Another thing is things that you have to hold on to reach your potential. I'm going to let you guys out of here in just a minute. You have to be mature. Come to that place in your life and mature up. I see people that are 50, 60 years old sometimes, and they're just as immature as they were when they were teenagers. Mature up. Find a place and start growing up. When you grow up, you're going to say, you know what? There's more to life than just me. One of the key things about maturing up is to not look at self, and it's begin to look at the things of God in other people. You begin to mature up because you're concerned about other people. You have to be disciplined in whatever you do. It takes discipline to be good at anything. Doing something over and over again, even when you don't feel like doing it, it's discipline your life. You're finding, I can do that. You know, a lot of you, if you don't believe me, you watch this. New Year's is coming Monday, tomorrow. Tuesday, it'll be Tuesday. I promise you, by 2 weeks after that, you can pass down any road in this city, and you can find a treadmill, or you can find one of those pedaling bicycles, or you can find a set of weights that's stuck up in the ground, and they did it with an attitude, because I ain't doing that, because they did not discipline themselves. I got a machine at my house. One of my neighbors was throwing around, and he had a big old belly like this. And he was out there throwing it out on the side of the road. And I saw him, and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm throwing this thing away. I said, you know, looking at you, maybe you ought to try to use this thing. You know, I didn't do that, but you think that. I'm just being honest with you. And he said, I'm throwing it away. He said, I'm going to take the weights off of it and use it for my tractor, and the rest of it's going in the trash. And I said, well, can I have it? And he said, yeah. He said, where's your truck? I said, I'm going to go get it. So I went down there and I got it. He said, come back, I'll help you load it. I loaded it, brought it back to the house. And I've used it just about as much as he did. I just don't have as much out here. Because I know what it takes. It takes discipline to go out there to do that. And it's one of those automatic, not automatic, but it's got the wings on it. It's got the handles. It's got the arms. Got things you put your elbows on to lift yourself. Goes around your neck. You pump with. And I can do that about two or three times. And it's like, I'm done. I'm Charles Atlas. Look at that. I'm going there. Look at him, baby. It don't work. If you're going to use something, it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It takes discipline to do what you need to do in your life. You have to pay the price. You have to hang out with the right people. Hang out with the right people. People that are doing something. People that are going somewhere. People that, in the Christian realm, find somebody that knows the Word of God more than you do. And sit down and talk to them. Pick their brain. Ask them questions. I know when I first got saved, is somebody behind me? I'm through, Lord. I'm about to. But you got to come to that place in your life and find people that are going somewhere. Somebody that's interesting to be around. Somebody that's been there and done that. And they might even have the T-shirt on, and sit down and ask them, how did you get where you're going? What did you do to get this in your life? How did you learn that? And begin to pick up on what those people do. There's this saying about stupid calls to stupid. Critical and offensive calls to critical and offended. Amazing how people group together. You find people that's stupid, they hang around people that are stupid. They got TV shows on. I watched one of them yesterday. Stupid acts that people do. And it's like, I got to turn this off. I feel like going out in the street and running into something. I'm just joking with you. But if you hang with people like that, you will be like that person. If you find somebody that's critical about everything and they don't talk good about anybody, you need to run from that person. Because if they will talk bad about someone else while you're there, they're going to talk bad about you when you're gone. So you might as well make up your mind, I don't want to be around this person. I want to find somebody that's positive, somebody that's going somewhere, somebody's doing something, somebody that's praising somebody else for what they're doing. I want to be in that category. Amen? That's a picture of your future. That's a picture of your future. And trust me, one thing I learned from my mama, she used to tell me, birds of a feather flock together. And I said, what? What are you talking about? I had no clue what she was talking about when I was 10 years old. But I'm going to tell you what, by the time I was 25, I realized it. Because you know what? Here I am, bedded down with this bunch of dummies that's going nowhere. Nobody's got any kind of inclination about what to do or how to do it and where we're going. Nothing is going on, and I need to get out of this flock. Because I don't want to be one of those birds that flock together with this group. Amen? I'll grow if I hang out with winners. When I hang with people that love God, when I hang out with people that study, when I hang out with people that will hold me in a place of accountability, and they will call me and say, how you doing? That thing we talked about the other day, are you still working on it? Oh, yes, I am. It is a very vital part of my life. And that needs to be in yours too. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. I want to walk with wise people. Amen? Amen. Read books. Listen to teachings. Learn new things. One other story I got, when Janice had two deteriorated discs in her spine, she was having a horrible time. I mean, she was in severe pain. And we went to the doctor. They did the MRI. They did everything. And they told us, whatever you do, don't move her. Don't bring her to a chiropractor. Don't do anything that would harm her, because her spine is like right here. And there's a vertebrae and a disc, a vertebrae and a disc. And they said that vertebrae is pushing on her spine like that. And if anybody was to try to move that or do anything, she could be totally paralyzed because it's already touching her spine. And you need to take this thing very serious and go get something done immediately. So immediately we started finding a doctor. We didn't know who to go to. We finally got one, and we went to the neurosurgeon's office, and we're sitting in the room waiting for the doctor to come by, and this young guy just comes walking by like that, and she said, oh my gosh, I hope that's not my doctor. And the thought hit me, and it's like, really? Maybe he is your doctor. Well, he's so young, he looks like a kid. And I said, let me ask you something. I said, what would you do if it had been some old crippled man coming by with shaky hands? And he got up in there and he says, I'm your doctor. I'm fixing to do surgery on your neck. I said, just maybe this doctor may be well trained. Maybe this doctor knows more than that older doctor. Maybe he's experienced in what he's doing. So immediately she changed her attitude. And then it was on the door, and I opened the door, and da-da, it was that young doctor. And he comes in, and he told Janice everything he was going to do. Very good bedside manners about everything, and got her all lined up to go do the surgery, did the surgery, told us all the complications that could happen, which was horrendous. And it's like, we're praying, we believe in God. I told him, I said, look, you do what you're going to do, God's going to do what he's going to do. We're going to all be happy. Thank you very much. So we did, and she had went through the surgery, eat a hamburger that night. They told her she wouldn't be able to eat nothing. Well, I guess somewhere along the way they got the thing mixed up, brought her a hamburger. Very good. She gave me part of it. It was good hamburger. So while we're there, one of the nurses comes in, and I used to race motorcycles with her daddy years ago. And I asked her, I said, let me ask you something about this doctor that did the surgery on her. She said, oh, yeah, he's one of the best that we have here. He trains other people how to do that. And I looked at her and I said, ta-da. We expect the best, and you get the best, amen? But we got to walk with people that are wise, do things that are different sometimes. Different things will help you. Now, let me ask you this. Have you got a mission for your life? Do you have a mission this year, this new year that we're entering? Do you have a mission? Nick, why don't you bring the worship team up if you're here? Where is he? Oh, yeah. Have a mission that motivates you. Do you have something that's a passion in your life that motivates you to do what you do? What is your giftings? What is your callings? Have you sat down lately and wrote them down on paper? I challenge the Cadillac place when I do Bible studies down there to begin to set goals in your life. Set 7 goals. Write them down. The Bible says write down the vision of what you want to be and what you want to do. What have you written down lately that you want to happen in your life? Some of the goals that you want to set in your life. Last year I set 7 goals. One of them was to lose 20 pounds. I lost 25 pounds. One of them was to learn Spanish. I learned 10 words. I didn't do good there, but I set a goal for it. But I did start playing the keyboard a little bit, and I can play about 15 songs without looking at the music because I set it down and purposed it in my heart to do what I wanted to do. I purposed it in my heart was to lead more people to the Lord. And because I did that, God allowed those people to come my way all during the year that I was able to lead them to the Lord. One of them was a good friend of mine that I hadn't seen in 40 years. I led him to the Lord at his house. After he had had 2 major heart attacks, he accepted Christ. And now he's a born-again believer. It's a goal that I sit down. It's like, God, I want to be used of you. God, I want what you want. Not what I want, but I want what you want. And every time I pray that, God gives me what I want more than I can ever imagine. He will give you the very desires of your heart, and you will not even have to ask for it. He will just give it to you somewhere along the way. Another one is, go where your dreams take you. Go with them. Start putting faith to your dreams. If you got a dream, if you have an unction of the Holy Spirit to move, begin to walk it out. Take simple steps and say, God, I'm walking it out. Get up every day and begin to walk and pray and say, God, I'm walking out what I'm believing you for. I'm walking to see what you're going to do in my life, and I'm not going to stop walking till you get me to where I need to go. Be persistent about it and let God do something good in you. Your dreams should bless you and your potential and other people. Don't forget about when God gives you something, He'll bless you, but He wants to bless someone else with you. That's what all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are about, is to bless other people and yourself. Stretch yourself and find your potential and be all you can be for God. And I know it's getting a little bit late, but I want y'all to bring the lights down. And if this sermon has touched you, and you want a new year in your life, I want you to rise. Let everybody rise, please, to stand up. I want you to rise to your feet, and I want you to come down here. And we're going to pray, and we're going to believe God to start using this church in a mighty way. That we want a new year in our lives. We want to see God do a new thing in us. We want to see God do something great in us. That we will be the most sensitive people that's around. That we will be the most caring people that's around. And if you're here today, am I still on? And if you're here today and you're not saved, you've never walked down an aisle, you've never gone anywhere to accept Jesus Christ in your life, I want you to come stand right here in the front of this little part right here. And I want you to come because this is your day. This is your day that God will give you a gift and He will give you a calling. And He will save your eternal soul if you will come and but ask Him today. And I'm here to pray with you. We're not here to embarrass you. I just want you to come and get saved and know that Jesus Christ is your Lord. And you have your name written in heaven. And today is your day. And everybody that's down here today has come and saying, God, I want you to be something great in my life. God, I want my potential to be loosed. And everybody that's outside of that, why don't you extend your hands and let's pray for these that's down here today. Let's pray that God will use each and every one of us to do the things that God's got in our life, has for our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead.
We wait for you. We wait for you. We wait for you. To walk in the room. We wait for you. Standing in your presence, let your glory come down. Let your glory come down. Here we are, standing in your presence. Here we are, standing in your presence. Let your glory come down. Let your glory come down. We are standing in your presence. Here we are, standing in your presence. Let your glory fall down. Let your glory come down. Here we are, standing in your presence. Here we are, standing in your presence. Let your glory come down. Let your glory come down. We wait.
thank you for every person in this building today, Lord, that you've challenged us. You've brought us to a place, Lord God, to know that we have giftings and callings, Lord, and we want to use everything that you've blessed us with, Lord God. Use our potential, Lord God, in everything that we do, not only to let us use it, Lord God, but other people around us would be blessed by what we do, Lord God, what we say, where we go, how we react to things, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for the people that are down here today, Lord God. I thank you for couples, Lord God, for singles and older people, Lord God, younger people, Lord, that you're challenging, Lord God, that you're bringing us to a new place in our lives, Lord God, to know and to understand you, Lord God, in your fullness, Lord. Lord, because we know that every time we read your word, Lord God, it quickens something in our spirit, man, Lord God, that changes us forever, Lord. And Father, we want that this year, Lord God. We want to know you, Lord God, in everything that we do, Lord God. We want to know that we're blessed, not because we're Americans and we live in America. We want to know that because we're your children, Lord God. We're your children, Lord God, and you love us and you care for us. And Lord, you've created each and every one of us, Lord God, in great and amazing ways, Lord God. Lord, the talents that's here, Lord God, that we use each and every one of them, Lord, we give you praise and honor, Lord. And Father, I pray for every person here today, Lord God. Lord, just extend the power of the Holy Spirit upon their lives today. Lord, let them know that they've been in your presence today, Lord. And not only that, that you're going with them, you're going before them, Lord God, in everywhere they go, Lord. Father, we thank you and we love you today. In Jesus' name, we give you glory and honor, Lord God. Let your gifts be loosed in this place today, Lord. We receive, we give you glory, we give you honor in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, since New Year's is so close, you're going to start today. But I want you to just imagine this. I was watching a show the other day, and they were putting a light on the big ball in New York City. One of them was Clark. What's his name? The guy, Jim Clark. Dick Clark. Dick Clark, because he was the oldest teenager, I think, that grew up in America right after me. You know, my wife asked me sometimes, are you going to ever grow up? And I said, gosh, I hope not. But nevertheless, they put a light on that ball to come down in honor of him. Well, I want you to know there's a greater ball that's coming down on you. And that's the power, the light of the Holy Ghost. And I want us to look at it. You can watch that night that they let that ball down. Or you can sit at home and watch it on TV. Or you can just sit there and look at your clock. But when it gets to the 12 mark and it goes 1 second past that, there's a new beginning's going to happen. There's a new year coming. And I want that to let you remind yourself that I'm a new person and there's some new things coming in my life for this year. Not only is it going to be 2013, but something new is going to happen in your life. And that light is in honor of you. He loves you because you're his child. Father, we thank you again, Lord God, for your mercy, your glory, Lord God, that's here. And Lord, as we go our separate ways, again, we ask that you'd watch over every family from this church, Lord God, in the surrounding areas, Lord. And Father, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we thank you, Lord, that we've been able to break bread together today, Lord. We thank you for such a spirit of peace that's in this building today, Lord. As we go our different ways, let us carry that peace with us wherever we go. Let us share the good news that we're loved, that we're cared for. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him a good clap offering. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Be blessed and have a new year. You fall.